Hello and welcome to another FL Team Show. My name is Zach Milliron, covering the Florida Gators for FL Teams. So, last night's game against USF, Saturday night in the Swamp, was not what a lot of Gator fans thought it would be. Florida once again struggled mightily on offense and this time on defense. We're going to first look at that game and then we'll go forward from there. But, you know, first off, big props to USF. They weren't intimidated by the environment. USF, you know, first game of the season, they had a rough go at against BYU at home. But they weren't intimidated by the environment. And, you know, they really came to play, which was good. And some of that, though, has to do with how bad Florida played. We'll start with the defense, which was, you know, for the most part, okay to good in the first two games. Without Ventrell Miller at linebacker, their linebacking core might be one of the worst in the SEC. You know, just missing tackles, not reading the keys. USF had major just gashing them play after play on the ground. And you know, USF wasn't setting the world on fire offensively either going into this game. You know, I think some of that is with Ventrell Miller out. I don't think Scooby Williams is ready to start yet at linebacker. Hopefully Ventrell Miller can be back. You know, he was in a walking boot during pregame. So that can be a good sign in that, you know, if he's able to walk around in a boot, you know, maybe he can potentially get back to practice and play against Tennessee coming up. But just poorest defensive effort. I shouldn't say effort. You know, they just weren't any good Saturday. You know, scheme-wise, you know, it looked a lot like it did in previous years, which Gator fans thought that they were done with. But, you know, again, not being able to stop the run. The secondary actually didn't play too bad. Jalen Kimber had a pick six, defensive touchdown for the Gators. And now the defense has scored more touchdowns than the Gator offense has thrown touchdowns. So you got that going for you, Florida. But, you know, in all seriousness, Jalen Kimber looks pretty good. Jason Marshall had some pretty good one-on-one man-to-man coverage, especially the one that he knocked down in the end zone in the first half there in the south end zone. So, you know, secondary played okay. Obviously, though, when your linebackers get exposed like they did, it's hard to cover, you know, forever, basically. Big number 21, Watson, on the D-line, you know, he's becoming a real player for the Gators. You know, at first it was kind of like a funny thing, like, oh, this guy's like 450 pounds. He's maybe good for, you know, 10 to 12 plays. But he's actually become quite the player for Florida at the D-tackle position. And that's good because Florida needs help on the D-line. They need help on the D-line. Depth is not in their favor as a football program right now. So any person that can step up is great for the Gators. I thought he did pretty well. Gervon Dexter, another one on the D-line. Brenton Cox, I don't know what he's doing sometimes. I feel like sometimes he freelances a lot. Even going back to last year. And then this year, you know, if you look back even on week one, when he was, you know, co-defensive player of the week or whatever in the SEC, if you look at the film, though, there's a lot of plays that he definitely freelanced on. And sometimes he makes that play, but, you know, if you do that enough times, you're going to get burnt. And that's starting to happen just like it did last year with him, Brent Cox. So, you know, Trey Dean is struggling a little bit. I don't think he's a safety. I think you could move him to backer or even, you know, maybe that would help. But, you know, just defensively not. It seems like they regressed a little bit. And again, Ventrell Miller was out. But you shouldn't, your whole scheme shouldn't fall apart just because one player is out, in my opinion. I've coached a decent amount of football. And I can tell you that, you know, if your scheme is relying on one player, you might want to tweak your scheme a little bit, because if that one player goes out, you're in trouble. And the Gators were in trouble last night defensively. But then we look at the Gator offense, and Gator offense was absolutely horrible, except for one thing. I will give credit to the offensive line and the running attack. Florida has a really good running core this year. ETN and Johnson have to be 1A and 1B. They're the best athletes on the field at the running back position. Naquan Wright did score a touchdown, and he's a very good change of pace back. Offensive line is really good at run blocking. They open up the holes, and you know, Florida running backs are finding them. And thank goodness for that, because Florida is one of just a handful of teams, okay, handful of teams, that have not thrown a passing touchdown this year. That is incredible. If you think back in Florida history with the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier, I mean, not throwing a passing touchdown in the first three games of the season, come on, like, what is going on? And I'll tell you what's going on. It's a combination, and it's a bad combination. Florida receivers cannot get separation. We'll start there. You know, USF, all props to them, but they're not Tennessee. We'll get to them in a little bit. They're certainly not Georgia. They're not even FSU as far as caliber of player that they have on the field. And they were able to stick with the Florida receivers most of the night. That's not good. That's not good. Florida receivers have to get separation. Florida coaching staff has got to scheme up, as Steve Spurrier used to say, ball plays to get these receivers open. Okay, whether it's running, you know, a shallow cross and then a dig route or a post corner or something that puts the linebacker or safety in a bind where they have to make a decision and the other guy's gonna have one-on-one coverage. Because they're not even most of the time beating one-on-one coverage, let alone if they bracket the receivers and other things they're going to start seeing when they hit SEC play. So receivers got to step up. Offensive scheme, Billy Napier, offensive coordinator, head coach, he's got to tweak some things if the Gators want to open up that passing game. Obviously, big story, we look at the quarterback, Anthony Richardson. You know, last year, everybody was clamoring, start Anthony Richardson, start Anthony Richardson. Emory Jones is terrible. Well, Emory Jones wasn't great, okay? But now we might be seeing why Anthony Richardson was not the starting quarterback last year. And I'm not saying that, you know, we should have kept Dan Mullen instead of Billy Napier because the recruiting was atrocious, which is why the Gators lack depth, which is why the Gators don't have breakout playmaker wide receivers. It's why the Gators have so many holes on offense and defense. It's from Dan Mullen's staff. Lack of recruiting. You can't say otherwise. It was time for a change. But I'm not sure that Anthony Richardson is necessarily the guy. And I know he had a great game against Utah. A lot of that, again, was on the ground. Hasn't thrown a passing touchdown. In that first game, he was 17 of 24. A lot of quick slants. A lot of shallow crosses. Florida definitely had, I think, better athletes than Utah in that game, which allowed them to get separation. And also, Utah had no film on Florida. You look at Kentucky had one game to watch film on. USF had two games to watch film on. As the season goes, these coaching staffs that they're facing are going to be pretty darn good, too. And they're going to put Florida in a position to say, we are going to make you pass the ball. And so far, Florida has not been able to do that. And they have to figure it out. They have to. Whether they will or not, I don't know. You know, it's Jack Miller, you know, he broke his thumb during summer training camp, had surgery. The timetable is week to week on him. You know, he's in the spring game, he looked atrocious. All the backups did. But right now, you know, the Gators got to figure out something. I'm not saying you bench Anthony Richardson. I'm not saying that. But maybe once Jack Miller comes back, maybe getting him in there, getting him a couple passing plays, getting something where it gets the offense going. If anything, it gives the defense coordinator and your opponent two quarterbacks to prep for, two different kind of systems to, not necessarily systems, but different packages that they might see, and it takes hours to plan and game plan for that. More hours you have to put in on different packages, more chances that mistakes might be made. But, you know, it's, you know, I had a feeling this was going to be a rough year, but I do will say, and I back up what I said, you know, earlier in the year when I did, like, the preseason breakdown, I said Florida, you know, had a chance in every game on their schedule. And I'm not wrong. I mean, they had a chance against Kentucky. They had a chance to lose against Utah, and they had a chance to lose against USF. They could easily be 0-3, or they could be 3-0 right now. They were 2-1. And, you know, it's just last night against USF was not the performance that a lot of Gator fans thought they would see. You know, Florida was predicted to win by, you know, Vegas had 24.5-point spread. I thought Florida would at least cover that. I said they'd beat them by 4 touchdowns. Gators barely scored 4 touchdowns. Again, credit to USF. They played a heck of a ball game. But Florida has to figure it out. They have to figure out from top down, from quarterback to coaching staff, Billy Napier, Anthony Richardson, they got to figure it out. Some reason or another, he's not running as much as he did against Utah. And don't give me that USF had a quarterback spy on him. Because no offense, if you can't outrun the USF linebacker that's spying you, there's no way that you're going to outrun Georgia linebacker when they play Georgia, or LSU linebacker when they play LSU, or Tennessee, or South Carolina. You know, because those guys are better caliber players in the SEC. So you can't give me that. Something's happened. I don't know if his ankle's hurt. I don't know if he's injured. I don't know if, you know, I saw a play last night where he ran and then he was kind of hopping on it a little bit. I don't know. I'm not there in the meeting rooms at practice. You know, no one can watch practice. So we don't know. You know, everyone says his ankle's okay, but why is he not running? You know, you can't play scared. You can't play where, oh, if he goes out, if he gets hurt running and he's out for the year, what are we going to do? Because right now, what are we going to do? Like, seriously, I'd rather him go full speed, full power, and run it, and Florida win some ball games that they maybe, you know, matchup-wise, might not necessarily skill-level matchup. They might win those games because of his athleticism, kind of like what they did against Utah, versus him playing it safe and then potentially losing to a USF and then losing these other games. You know, I mean, Billy Napier had a saying, scared money don't make money. Well, you know, you got to have some common sense, too. You can't just say, like, oh, you know, we're not going to, you know, do our best plays because we're afraid of someone getting hurt, you know, with Jack Miller still sidelined. I don't know if that's the reason. I don't know if he's timid. You know, he talked about how during the Kentucky game, you know, Anthony Richardson said he got flustered and, you know, he lost confidence. Like, how do you lose confidence? Like, I mean, he's got to get that back. And I thought USF was going to be a game where he did it, and he didn't. And so now, Gators hit the road to Rocky Top. And let me just say, College Game Day is going to be in Rocky Top. It's going to be an insane atmosphere. SEC atmosphere, 3:30 kickoff, CBS. Tennessee is ready. Okay, Tennessee looked good this year. They have a good quarterback in Hendon Hooker. They have some really good wide receivers, nice running attack. Offensively, they try to go as fast as they can. They run a play, they run another play, run a play, run another play. They try light speed, we're talking, as far as offensively. Gator defense has to step up, or they're going to go through them, you know, like air through a tin horn. Okay? They have to step up. You know, Ventra Miller hopefully will be back. But the Gators have to find it because it's too early in the year, you know, to not make adjustments. It's still time. I haven't lost faith in Billy Napier and the coaching staff. I want to put that out there. I think Billy Napier right now is really seeing the kind of talent that he has on this Gator football team. And he's shown that he can recruit. He's gone out and gotten some 4 stars. There's several 4 and 5 stars that are supposed to announce their commitments coming up. So I have faith in Billy Napier and his coaching staff and his recruiting. I'm hoping that they tweak some things offensively and maybe defensively to put them in a better schematic advantage going into some of these SEC games, especially starting against Tennessee. Tennessee is going to be tough. Tennessee is probably as good as they've been in the last decade. It's in Knoxville, sold out game. It's going to take a Herculean effort for Florida to win this game, I think. I had kind of circled this game earlier in the offseason as a potential, like, this would be a tough game because it was the first road trip of the year for the Gators. You know, they've played 3 straight home games. But, you know, hopefully Anthony Richardson finds himself. He reverts back to the Anthony Richardson we saw last year in his limited playing time against USF, against LSU. You know, you remember he went into the LSU game. LSU still had athletes last year, and he took over that game. Athletically, hopefully he can do it. Hopefully Florida can, you know, review their offensive schemes and Anthony Richardson can gain his confidence back and find it. Because otherwise, Florida's in trouble next week. Florida will get run out of Neyland Stadium if they cannot figure out a way to make some adjustments. Again, in-game adjustments are still troubling a little bit. They have yet to score in the third quarter. I get it, it's only 3 games, but when you're coming out at halftime and you're not able to score, you're not going to win many games, and you're going to struggle in the games you do win, because halftime adjustments are huge, and if teams are not able to score in the third quarter, that means probably means either they're A, Florida, as we know, depth is an issue, or B, they're not making halftime adjustments. Either way, it's not good. Florida has to change that. They have to change that now going into their SEC schedule. You have at Tennessee, and again, it's going to take a Herculean effort to win that game. I think I've said all that I can say on this. Follow FL Teams at flteams.com, FL Teams YouTube, FL Teams Apple Podcast, FL Teams Facebook and Twitter for the Florida Gator coverage. NHL and Tampa Bay Lightning are heating up, so look for shows by me on that. I did a show last week on different things to look for in training camp with the Lightning. So definitely check that show out. Until then, have a wonderful day, and go Gators. And, we'll see what happens in Knoxville, Tennessee on Rocky Top.